You're listening to the Donscast, an unofficial fan podcast about the greatest Australian football team, the Essendon Bombers. My name is Jamie.
And I'm Nick.
I made another loss, but, you know, we really, after being blown off the park early days, fought out and actually scored over 100 points against the reigning premiers, which is no small feat in my opinion. And considering Geelong, as Brad Scott said, only had 100 points scored against them once all of last year.
Yeah, absolutely, James. As disappointing as the day was, there are positives to take from it, as much as we might not have felt like that in the exact moment. But, I don't think any of us really penciled in a win for this game, James. We know we're always going to be up against it. And that's not even taking into account, you know, the five-day break and all the rest of it. I think, you know, in terms of bodies on the park, experience, all the rest of it, I think we're always expecting a pretty tough game against the Cats, you know, knowing some mismatches that were always going to happen. Obviously not having big key defenders at the current stage against, you know, the likes of Cameron and particularly the Tomahawk. We're always going to struggle there. But fight it out we did, James. At least there was some semblance of respectability on that scoreboard, as you mentioned.
Yeah, and look, you know, losing Jaden Laverty was, you know, a really big blow to us, you know, not only in that Collingwood game, but in future weeks. And we now know he's going to be away for at least, you know, 7 or 8 weeks. So he's a big part of our defensive structure.
Yep.
As we know, we've got Zach Reed, Nick Cox, and even James Stewart all on the sideline. So I know Zach Reed's played 3 quarters back in the game, but he's still a little while off. And then Kane Baldwin doesn't seem to be in form after that concussion. We're really up against it in the defensive stocks. And some people are pointing to Adrian Dodoro saying, you know, we should have, you know, more backup for defenders. But I guess the thing is, you know, in his defense, you'd have to say, like, how could you foresee you're going to have so many, you know, key defensive stocks injured all at one time? I know Reed and Cox have history, and so does Stewart for that matter. And, mate, I don't know if you've seen the injury list, but James Stewart is still listed as TBC, to be classified. So as much as we were hoping that the club would be a bit more forthcoming to members and so forth, this one, seems a little bit like we're not to know. Considering he got a 2-year deal on the back of a pretty subpar year, he was very lucky, I thought. Now he's got this injury, and it's a mystery injury because we don't know exactly how long. We know it's a foot issue. And I have heard it's that plantar fasciitis, which is the, you know, policeman's heel injury, they used to call it. Where it's like, you know, can stay with you for 6 to 12 months. It's a real real problem, that one. But I guess we're stuck at the moment, you know, and Zerk had to play the most of the game on Tomahawk and had the 8 kicked. And But as Brad Scott said, he's going to learn from that. We could have saved face and flipped everyone around, but he gave him a real learning lesson and said he'll be better for it.
Yeah, you can only hope. I mean, on James Stewart, at the time, I could see the reason why Jimmy Stewart would be signed up for another couple of years. Like, I thought he was a pretty useful addition to us, either forward or back. I actually thought he held up his end generally when he played down back. Yes, he'd have his bonehead moments, but like, he's a pretty good pick. He's a good size, but unfortunately, we just can't get him on the park. And it is disappointing that we don't get a bit more clarity there. But perhaps it's one of those ones where they work him up to a certain stage, and that plantar fasciitis, as you mentioned, James, can be a pretty tricky one, where it can recur. you know, over time, it's not one of those ones you can bank on it improving as a definite. So I guess we'll see what plays out there. I'm hoping he gets back at some stage. I think he's a pretty useful addition to the side. And as for Zerk, yeah, didn't have his best day, but it wasn't exactly a day built for him. I mean, against Tom Hawkins, we're always going to struggle. I think Laverty is really important to our structure down back, and losing him meant we lost shape in a lot of ways and impacted not only Zerk Thatcher, but I thought particularly Redmond as well. He got sucked in a bit there at times trying to cover for that role. So it certainly wasn't on the head of Zerk Thatcher. As we've seen before, he's proved plenty of us doubters wrong in the past. Like he does have an ability to get a fist in when he needs to, but just struggled on the day. A learning opportunity. And I guess some of us do have to look back and think even the great Justin Fletcher, James, had plenty of bags kicked on him back in the day.
Yeah.
So all is not lost. And realistically, when you look at it, as you say, Jane, with the injuries, who else do we really have to pick from? We can't even pick a Kean McBride because he's out due to suspension and injury. So, there's plenty of things that go into it. I'm glad we've got a coach like Brad Scott who acknowledges where, could have done better. But doesn't wallow in defeat or woe is us kind of attitude.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, Brad Scott's press conferences are so refreshing, considering what we've had to listen to for the last 5 years with Rutten and Worsfold. They were really tough going, those presses, and now actually feels like Brad's giving us as much information and speaks with conviction, and that's really important for fans, because we don't want to hear learnings, we don't want to hear this. Like he actually articulates what we're doing right or wrong, and reinforces that by saying we're going to get better at those areas, and there's a lot of improvement in us, and gave us lots of hope and optimism, and as an Essendon supporter, mate, you need that because it's very easy to get this woe is me mentality because we've seen it all before and a lot of false dawns and, but this feels a little bit like we're heading in the right direction. And, it should be said, mate, we've played three, as again Brad Scott said, so I'm rephrasing what he said. We've got three, we've played the last three games have been against the three premiership favourites in, Melbourne, Collingwood and Geelong. And, that shouldn't be understated either, like coming from where we were last year. We've been super competitive and, possibly should have won the game against Collingwood. We beat Melbourne and, look, Geelong looked always to have our number. But there was periods of that game where we, we're able to score and, to generate a score of 104 points, I think it was, is a really says a lot about our offensive potential. But, it's obviously that defensive structure we're still working on. The really good sides are able to walk through us at times. And that's the part we've got to improve. And, these players have only been with Brad since October, late October, really. So, you're going to expect that they are going to improve and have a better understanding of the system, and that should see better results.
Absolutely, mate.
All right. Well, let's fly through this game because I'll tell you, sitting in the, I was on the in the AFL members, and I was sitting right on the wing, and the sun was just blaring in my eyes the whole day. That's one of the bad things about a 110 start, mate. The sun doesn't go far, and I had to contend with that all day. So I can only imagine some of the players what they were dealing with. But there was a lot of flashbacks to round one last year, mate, especially at the start of that game when Geelong just had the wood over us, and it felt very much like that St Kilda game earlier in the year too.
Yeah, absolutely, James. They jumped us, and it's pretty scary for a while there, where they just really took hold of us, and anytime we tried to mount a bit of a defence, unfortunately we'd cough the ball up at times. Like some of them were skill errors where we literally kick the ball directly to a cat's jumper, and you think, the jumper clashes. We are in no way similar to Geelong, so that was bemusing to say the least. But further to that, it seemed a bit of a lack of talk, Jane. Like in that first quarter, there was one where we were trying to get out of our 50, and Zach Merritt and Setterfield both competed for the same football. Neither of them talked, so there was kind of a brief pause. Setterfield eventually went to pick up the footy, but by that time, the Cats were able to pressure and eventually mopped up the ball, and we coughed it up, and it went to another scoring opportunity to the Cats. We saw another one where even our class users like Martin, he got pressured on the kick, coughed it straight out to Geelong, and the good sides, James, they really make you pay. So early in that game, you had. Yeah, a goal to Brad Close to them. Hawkins got involved. Cameron had a cider before slotting one through. And then Hawkins just went on a spree, kicking another three goals in succession. And you kind of felt for Zerk Thatcher there because our midfield was getting smashed. Wasn't doing our backs much of a service. And so in the blink of an eye, really, it was six goals to zip, James.
So it was 6 goals to 38 before we got our first goal, and that was through Sam Draper.
Yeah, it was. And after last week, where we had a bit of the jitters around that same point, James, or I had to wonder if I had to ask if you'd taken a mark in the stands, but fortunately, Draper went back and slotted it, which would have been good for his confidence. And the good thing was we didn't drop our bundle, James. We did manage to, I suppose, work our way back into the game. Where Jake Stringer soon bobbed up a little while later to kick his first of the day.
Yeah, and it was pleasing to see him being pushed more on ball. And again, Brad Scott said during the presser, like, we needed a bigger body in there. And I felt they've held Jake back a bit from the centre bounces. So he got a real good go in there this week.
You did, mate. Now it was good to see Waller back out on the ground, James. Unfortunately, in that first quarter, he had I forget who it was, but
I
he
think it was Stuart, wasn't it? It was
Stewart
Stuart.
had him dead to rights, James. He tried to run away with the footy, and Tipper had him gone. But unfortunately, and it was a theme throughout the whole day, I didn't see many holding the balls paid on the day, James. And certainly that one would have been a boost to Tipper's confidence. But it was just good to see him out there, tackling and pressuring. But at the end of that quarter, James, we were down to 27 points. So 2 goals zip to their 6 goals, 3:39. Starting the second quarter, though, it looked like Geelong were going to kick off where they left off, and Jeremy Cameron kicked his second pretty early on. Fortunately, though, we saw Jake Stringer again, get involved, and this time kicking his second.
Yeah, a good start for Jake against the reigning premiers, and he has a real presence out there. And look, we know there's been plenty of games where he's not on, but you just felt he was really engaged in the game and was going to pose a threat to Geelong.
Absolutely, mate. And we saw at that stage that, Jakey Stringer, he had 9 contested possessions to that point. So, as you said earlier, he was doing that real grunt work in the middle there. So it was great to see Jake Stringer being thrown in the middle again and have a fair bit of impact. Unfortunately, though, the Cats kept coming. We saw Oliver Henry, kick one through, and you just sort of thought, oh, what are we in for the rest of the day? Fortunately, though, we saw Sam Wiedemann get involved, and he kicked his kicked his first, which was soon responded to by Gary Rowan, who kicked an easy one out the back before Sam Wenham again kicked one. So two in relatively quick succession for Big Weeds.
Yeah, and good to see him get on the scoreboard too, because it's hard to get a good look down there because Geelong's back line is pretty well regarded, and it was hard for anyone to get a score, and great to see Sammy get on the scoreboard.
Absolutely, mate. Unfortunately, during that quarter, James, like, we did try to corral and control a bit more of the play, but I have to say our lack of defensive structure in that back six there, like Geelong had a spoot, and whether it was people trying to cover roles that they weren't used to or what, as I mentioned earlier, I thought some guys were particularly vulnerable to that and got sucked into the footy and kind of sucked into no man's land at times. And one of those was Mason Redman, where he was, and characteristically, I suppose he lacked impact on the game at times. But then worse than that, whether that impacted his confidence or what, but that seemed to impact on his disposal. Like, we saw one where he kicked directly across goal and went straight to Sam Simpson. He went back and kicked a goal for Geelong, and that one really hurt us.
Yeah, and look, I think it's understandable players' confidence takes a hit. When you see someone who's got generally pretty good skills do that, you just know the pressure out there must be immense.
Absolutely. Fortunately, though, we had Blake's trying to lift aside, and pardon me, Dylan Shield, mate. He came through with the goods, to kick his first.
Yeah, and that's one thing Dylan's really added to his game. He's become a goal kicking threat. He is resting a bit forward, on that half forward flank, but he's really making him pay. And this is what we've been calling for: just pin the ears back and have a shot at times. Yep. And he's starting to do that.
See, nice checkside goal from Dylan Shield. Unfortunately, though, Geelong were never far away from a goal, and we saw successive goals to them. Sam Simpson, Tom Hawkins and Tanner Bruin all getting involved there to stretch their lead before Jake Stringer was able to arrest a bit of the momentum to kick his third, which was great to see. But unfortunately, towards the death, Tom Hawkins again bobbed up to kick his sixth of the match.
And I was getting worried. He's really going to get a real big bag on us. I know he did anyway, but from half time, he just kicks the extra two goals. Yeah. He was heading for like 12, I thought. So if you simplistically do that, he could have been on target for 12-goal haul. And so it just shows you that we did wrestle some momentum from Geelong, and they didn't have it as easy as they did in the second half.
No, that's exactly it. So we ended that half down by 44 points. So 7 goals, 244 to their 14 goals, 488. And really, when you looked at it, we were pretty lucky to have kicked straight, Jane. Like, there was one stage where he'd kicked the 7 goals straight. Obviously, a couple of behinds there, one to Stringer, one to Wiedemann. So we were almost lucky to be within that striking range, if you will. And I guess, sort of interesting, we were chatting, throughout the game, Jamie. And at that point, halftime, Mason Redmond had 4 possessions. So again, uncharacteristically quiet. 1 possession had been collected by Langford, and Andrew Phillips, 0. He had no possessions to that stage of the game. And it was really disappointing because we had quite a few passengers, as we sort of mentioned throughout that game, James. And it was really hurting us because we don't have the depth of, I suppose, experience and great talent at either end of the ground to be able to wear that burden of just carrying so many passengers. So some pretty disturbing things there. But look, going into that Third quarter, we started off a bit more positively. We saw Jai Caldwell bob up for a goal.
Yeah, that was a good goal, and we needed to wrestle some, you know, momentum from Geelong, and you know, the last thing we could have given up was the start of the match. You know, just let them pile on the goals. Yeah. So to get one back was really important.
Certainly was. And then the ball bobbled around at each end of the ground for a bit, where we saw Setterfield have a hurried shot at goal, but missed. Colin Jasny for the Cats had a shot but missed. McDonald Tip Woody had an uncharacteristic miss, James, but it was good to see him having a shot. Before Dylan Scheel, had a shot from, would it be about 45, 50 out on a bit of an angle, and kicked it beautifully, like just, you know, dime straight, beautiful kick.
Yeah, and this is the Dylan Scheel. Yeah, when we got him all those years ago, this is the bloke we wanted. And who knows how bad our coaching was that we haven't been able to get this out of him. But he certainly improved this year, and to add that goal kicking really is making his contract much more worth it.
Yeah, absolutely, Jabe. Unfortunately, though, we saw another relatively easy goal to Tanner Brunn. So as hard as we worked, we kept coughing the ball up, and the Cats really made us pay each and every time. Luckily, though, we saw Sam Wiedemann again bob up where Anthony McDonald Tip Woody just hit him beautifully with a pass in the pocket there, and he was good enough to swing around and snap it through.
Yeah, I thought Tipper would line up and have a shot himself, and he was, a little bit too unselfish, but Sam didn't let him down for giving it off and got the maximum result.
Absolutely, James. And, not too long after that, we saw Jack Stringer, who'd really been super important for us, kick his fourth of the game.
Yeah, and we got within, I think, 23 points at that stage.
Yep.
And, being 44 down at three-quarter time, at halftime, to peg that back to, 23 points is showed that the boys were having plenty of fight. But as soon as I had the false hope that, hey, we're going to come back here, it would be Hawkins again, who would kick his seventh.
Yep.
So that made it tough.
They certainly did, mate, and they kept trying to pile them on. You saw a miss to Sam Simpson, and then another goal to Jeremy Cameron. So that was his third to take us out at three-quarter time. With them having a six-goal lead, so 17 goals, 6, 108 to our 11 goals, 6, 72. And then starting that last quarter, James, they came out with a flurry, and it was looking pretty dangerous. We saw, a shot from Dangerfield that missed. Oliver Henry kicked a goal. Brad Close had a miss. Soon after, Mitch Duncan had a shot and one that he normally would have iced, and he missed before Anthony McDonald Tip Woody took a nice mark and went back and kicked it.
Yeah, it's great to see Tipper get on the scoreboard, and even though the game had gone at this point, I still wanted to see us fight it out. Like, I didn't want just to have one quarter of footy where we looked good. I wanted us to sustain it, and on the back of a really poor last quarter last week, or last Tuesday, I should say. It was great to see that the boys weren't giving up, and we could score in the last quarter.
Absolutely, mate. Unfortunately, though, we saw Max Holmes, who he killed us all day, really. Kick a goal for the Cats before Ben Hobbs stepped up and ran inside 50 and kicked a really nice goal, which I thought was a reward for effort. I thought he'd had a pretty good day, young Hobbs.
He'd made a mistake earlier to that, and that was a good way to pay it back.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, that kick that went out of bounds on the full, James, yeah, he'd love that kick back. But, again, he didn't drop his head. He kept hard at the contest, and, when his opportunity did come, he was good enough to kick it. But unfortunately, so was Tom Hawkins, who kicked his eighth of the match. And I tell you what, if Essendon's good for one thing, it's given other people records. That was his highest goals kicked in his career. thus far.
Yeah, not bad for a 34-year-old, is it?
Absolutely. Soon after we kept fighting. Sam Wiedemann bobbed up to kick his fourth. Mason Redmond came running through to kick a goal. Nick Hind, who'd been lively, had a shot at goal, but unfortunately was astray. Before Sam Wiedemann, towards the death of the game, bobbed up for his fifth of the match. So not a bad effort from the young bloke. And that was game, Jame. To go down by 28 points, I think, flattered us at the end of the day. So 20 goals, 12, 132 to our 16 goals, 804. Yes, it was good. We breached the 100 mark against, the reigning premiers. But I think, a lot of those scores, probably came at a time where Geelong had largely put the cue in the rack. Had taken the foot off the pedal. As you said, Jamie, we did keep firing it out. And as disappointing as it was to lose, there were plenty of good things to come out of that game. One of which being that despite being beaten comprehensively throughout the game, Jamie, we did keep trying. Our tackle numbers were fairly consistent, so 52 tackles throughout the course of the match. All other stats were relatively similar. We got killed around marks, given the senior bodies and stoppage clearances. They killed us as well, 31 to our 19. All others being relatively similar. We even won the hitouts count, but I think we saw that the likes of Dangerfield and Cal were just sharking our taps, much like side bottom and Penrith were doing. We played Collingwood, so plenty of things we need to work on. But as Brad Scott talked about in his press conference, there was still a lot of good that came from that game in terms of development for our players, which I think in good time will set us in good stead, as tough as the experience was yesterday.
Yeah, and as you said, it really did flatter us. I felt like a 10-goal loss, to be honest, but I'll definitely take that. And, look, we've got some – our draw is pretty tough at the moment. It's really going to depend on how we hold up over the next, 3 or 4 weeks, really, because at the back of that, we play North and West Coast twice. So, no doubt we're still a realistic chance of making finals, and you just don't want to cop big losses. And by reducing that to 28 points, it's not as hurtful as it could have been. If you are, fighting for the outskirts of the eight, to protect some percentage as well. Mate, let's have a break and we'll come back with the Donscast medal vote. And you're listening to the Donscast, and as always, we do our Donscast medal votes. Mate, how did you see it?
Yeah, this is a difficult one. We had a couple of standouts, and then a few contributors, and then a lot of passengers. But fortunately, we only have to account for the five. I'll go start from the bottom, Jane. For one vote, I went for Caldwell. I thought he played a pretty solid game. Kicked a goal, that was good, but had the 20 disposals, which shows he's developing his impact in the game, for longer, and particularly in those third and fourth quarters, I thought he was pretty important. Actually took the 8 marks, James, which for a relatively shorter bloke, isn't usually his one wood, but I thought he was getting around the ground a lot, linking play and all the rest of it. But further to his own goal, he actually had 2 goal assists, which I thought spoke really well of his ability to get involved in the play, particularly at the pointy end, and overall had the 8 score involvement. So I thought pretty good game from Jai Caldwell, so rewarded with vote. For the 2 votes, I went for Dylan Scheel, as we spoke about earlier. So he kicked the 2 goals, which is great to see. Actually, had 11 score involvements, James, and eight contested possessions. So I thought he had a pretty good game for us, even though he had the 22 disposals, so not huge numbers. I thought he made a bit of an impact, and he also had three goal assists, which was fantastic to see. So one on from Dylan Shield with the two votes. Three votes I went for Sam Wiedemann, to come in and kick the five. Not a bad effort, for a young bloke. And, it's up against, Radicalea, who's a big body, but he used a bit more footy smarts to body him out of the way a couple of times. Took the four marks, which is good to see, and had 14 disposals. So I thought that worthy of a few votes there to Sam Wiedemann. Four votes went to Darcy Parrish. Now, I have been critical of him, Jane, for his ball use, and there were times yesterday where I was still critical of his ball use, but just his bloke's want and fight to stay involved in the game, I thought was instrumental in keeping us in it for as long as we were. Had the 38 disposals, which we've come to almost expect from Darcy. But had four marks, so made himself an option around the ground. Four tackles, so adding that more defensive intent to his game. The nine clearances, Jane, which I thought was really good to go with. A goal assist, in the end, 10 score involvements, which was a great effort there. So I thought he had a really good game, Darcy Parrish, so awarded him with the four votes. But for the five votes, no surprise, I dare say, to most. But the package, Jake Stringer, gave him five votes. Actually racked up 26 disposals, James, so easily his best game for the season. And of those 26 disposals, had 17 kicks and used it to pretty good effect. Actually had the 529 metres gained. Had a real influence both at the contest and in front of goals, obviously kicking the four goals there. 11 clearances, five marks, and just his physicality. And Geelong just found him almost impossible to tackle at times, just so strong through the hips. And it was great to see him be able to play such a big role for us on the day, James, and hoping we get more of that throughout the course of the season from Jake. So a great game, and that's me five votes. So how about yourself, James? Had to read it.
Yeah, I went five for Stringer. I thought he was clearly our best player. Played a little bit more on ball, or a lot more on ball, than he had previous games. And I think that was a benefit to us to do so. And as you said, he kicked the four goals, which is really important. Yeah, I gave four to Parrish. He had to step up because they put a real hard tag on Merritt. I'd say Parrish would have been a little bit disappointed with his game against the Pies. Even though he found the foot, he just didn't have the impact. But I thought yesterday he had much more impact against the Cats and, found the ball. And look, he's never going to be an elite user, but, winning the ball at the cold face, is really important. Mm. So, he got my four votes. Three votes to Sam Wiedemann. He kicked the five goals, which is a career high, and to do it against the reigning premiers has to count for something. So, I gave him the three. Two to Dylan Shield. Love the way he's playing. Seems to play with a bit more confidence now. He's really tacking that footy on the run and having a shot at goal when it permits itself, or presents itself. So that was really good. And look, mate, that last vote, I found it really tough, and I ended up rewarding Jordan Ridley. I know our defenders are under a lot of pressure, but I liked how Jordan was going up against the best player in the comp for most of the day in Jeremy Cameron and really applied himself pretty well. And look, Cameron still kicked three goals, but I thought Ridley did his best to stop that.
He certainly did, Jane. All right, well, that wraps us up there for another week. So I'll tally up the votes now. So going down from the bottom, as always, on two votes apiece, we got Draper and Zerk Thatcher. Three votes, we got Phillips. On four, Corbell. Five is Perkins. Setterfield's on 7, Wiedemann on 8, Merritt on 9, Martin on 11, Kelly on 12, Ridley on 17. On 18 votes apiece, we got Scheel, Stringer and Langford. McGrath's on 19, Parrish is on 25, and still out in front, we got Mason Redmond on 32 Dons Cast Medal votes.
Darcy Parrish is starting to make a move. Interesting to see what happens on Sunday against Port Adelaide, which would be a tough game because they really took it up to the Saints and won at Marvel, which is no mean feat to beat Saints at Marvel. So, yeah, we'll have to be, you know, at our best to really have a go at Port. But, yeah, I'm certainly not as not scared, I would say, but I was more fearful of Geelong than Port Adelaide in Port, if you know what I mean. So, I do give ourselves a much better chance against Port if we come with the right mindset. So that'll be interesting. No VFL men's team play this week for us, but our VFLW team played and they actually had another win, mate. So I think that's their third win on the trot.
Yeah, which is great to see because at the start of the season, they had a draw and a couple of losses and, yeah, it would be easy to get a bit down, but to see him fight back and have a couple of wins against some pretty tough opposition against the Collywobbles and then Williamstown is excellent to see.
Yeah, no, very good, and we'll keep watching their progress. I think they've climbed into the six. I think it's the six. So with that win, so that's pleasing to see, and we'll obviously watch their progress.
Absolutely, mate.
Let's go for our last break, mate, as we go by the numbers. And you're listening to Don's Cast as we go by the numbers. And, mate, we start with, as always, when he's playing, Andrew McGrath. And what did you think of his game?
Yeah, it's a funny game, James, because I think he tried hard all day to get involved. And there were a couple of plays where he really tried to sort of burst through with the footy. But Geelong's forward setup really stifled our ability to take it out at times. So I think that might have diminished his impact, and just the way they were able to get quick kicks into that forward line didn't allow him, to isolate those one-on-ones that he had previously. Still racked up the 20 disposals, so I thought he had a solid game, but just wasn't able to star on the day.
Yeah, a lot of handballs in that. And I think Andy plays better when, as you said, he grabs the ball on the burst.
Yeah,
gains meterage and then he can be a good kick at times. Yes, he can turn it over, and when he's pressured, he heaves it over his shoulder, which is a bugbear of ours. But I mean, when he gets the ball on a burst and hits the player, he can look quite elite at times. But as you said, Geelong's setup was such that most times there was the feeling of pressure, so there's a handball release. So something for Andy to work on, but he certainly was no means let himself down. He tried with every ounce of his body, but just going against Geelong was pretty tough.
Yeah.
Sam Draper, mate. This is Sam Draper and Andrew Phillips. Would you believe? I don't think they took a mark between them.
Yeah.
On a beautiful day in Melbourne, I think he's got to be better than that. Got that early goal.
Yeah.
But when you look at it, he's only had the 7 disposals. And not that you need your ruckman to have high percentage or high possessions, but, I just think that's underwhelming. There was a couple of times he's trying to burst out of the centre, which was good. I like when he does that. I think that shows that he's got a real presence.
Yeah.
But, I just think he needs to be more impactful than that.
Yeah, definitely. As you said, James, underwhelming is probably a fair word for his game. Not through lack of effort or anything like that, but I think he still does struggle to make an impact around the ground, apart from the taps, which we know he can do. Certainly Down back, like their setup was so good. Like they have blokes like Blitzarves, Bradigalia, Stewart, of course. All making life difficult for us to enter the ball inside 50. I think he had a pretty tough day, but I think, really, these are the games that Sam Draper has to grind out to find out where he's lacking in his game. I don't know, it sort of makes me think of the Brad Scott presser. Again, I know we've referred to this a few times, but it's so impressive for a number of reasons, one of which being because they said, oh, look, round one last year, did it give the team flashbacks or whatever the question was. And Brad Scott actually said, well, look, we actually reviewed that game a lot of times and broke it down into how we broke down and what systems they worked with, which gives me a lot of hope. Like if they're reviewing past games, because that was pretty tough watching at the time, Jane, let alone having to review it from a performance perspective. That gives me a lot of faith that the club's, looking at the vision and demonstrating to the guys, this is the exact area where we fell down. Not as a, as a stick mechanism to beat them over the head with and say, you need to be better than that, because that, it just won't work. But to use it as an education tool to go, you see, if you put yourself in that position, that's why you were unable to impact that contest. And so for the likes of Sam Draper, who has a lot of development to go, James, it'll be so useful for him to actually learn from that experience, because that's what he's going to need to grow from an exciting player now, which he is, to then a solid, dependable player, to then, potentially a bloke who is capable of being one of the best rucks in the league, like just given his agility, athleticism, and all the rest of it. So, look, not his best game, but he'll learn from that. And I've got full faith in the coaches and everyone around him to get the best out of him.
Yeah, and that was his 50th game, by the way. So, and we know he's had some knee injuries in between that. So, no mean feat to get there, and he's going to have a long career. That was no whack to him, but I just think he needs to be better. Either work harder to present yourself to at least get one mark. I think he can do that.
Yeah,
So
absolutely.
that's positioning, and that, as you said, that'll be taught to him over time. Darcy Parrish, we both gave him, high votes, mate, on a very good day for him. Four tackles as well. So, there was one tackle that I wish he had a later, as that was where Cameron just waltzed past him. Needed to do better there, I think, Darce. Head down and try and grab those hips. I know Cameron's a powerful man, but did look a little bit, half-hearted. A very good game by Darcy.
Yep, absolutely.
Kyle Langford, as you said, mate, had one disposal at halftime, and that was not all he's doing. He's a bit unsettled, to be honest. Like the ball wasn't coming down there. They're reluctant to move him as much as they had in the past. So he left a little bit dormant there. He ended up racking up the 11 disposals, 7 kicks, 4 handballs, and 3 marks, but yeah, not his best game, and it was largely unsighted.
He was, Jamin, and worse than that, like from his latest possession tally, he actually went at 54.5% disposal efficiency, which is not like him. I mean, we talked about him not long ago as being one of the best kicks in the AFL. Indeed, I think he was the best kick in the AFL, or rated. So certainly my how the mighty have fallen, but look, not his best game, as you say, positionally. Maybe not the matchups that worked for him, and certainly we're trying to plug a lot of holes at the moment with the injury tally mounting, so not all things going his way, but we know he's good enough to bounce back from that, but just a pretty average day, you'd have to say, yesterday.
Yeah, Jai Caldwell, mate, you found a vote for him, and I can see why. He's getting a bit more opportunity, a bit more up further up the ground. And as you said, he found the 20 disposals, 8 marks, which is, as another thing you pointed out, was, for a guy of his stature, shows that how hard he's working to get out there and, you know, get his hands on the ball and take marks. So, yeah, I just think he's just going to keep getting better and better, Jai. And, you know, I really think in a couple of years he could be, you know, one of the better players, you know, to go into midfield.
Yeah, absolutely, Jai. No, I really rated his game, as I discussed before. So, yeah, not much more for me.
Yep. Zach Merritt, really tough day coming back from suspension.
Yep.
Geelong had targeted him and they went hard with him. Atkins was really bustling into him, frustrating him. One thing I want to say a shout out to was that even though he didn't have his best day, he only racked up 19 disposals. He had 7 tackles, mate. So as the captain, he's showing, look, if I don't get the ball, but I'm going to work bloody hard to try and get it back for us. So that's one thing I reckon Zach's taken with the leadership is a different mindset to his defensive work.
Yeah, absolutely, Jamie. And you also see it in the way he chases and harasses. Like there was one instance where I think it might have been Buse or someone coming inside, Geelong's 50, and Zach Merritt, he was probably a good 15 metres behind, when he started running after him. He pumped his legs as hard as he can go to eventually in the end, like just about get a hand on him for the tackle. And that perceived pressure made Buse skew the kick. I think it was Buse, but in any case, just Merritt, putting that pressure on shows the guys that, look, we can't go half-hearted efforts. And if we do put in that little bit extra, it can, pay off, as much as we might not, actually impact. We need to get in the opposition's head. So I think, as I say, Jane, those 7 tackles, as well as the effort elsewise he put throughout the game, was, a real credit to him to how hard he works individually. And for the team. So, look, not his best game, but still thought a solid effort.
Ben Hobbs got his first full game of the season, and he did quite well too, mate. He had the 17 disposals, 12 kicks, 5 handballs, 6 marks and 4 tackles. So, look, his kicking is not always great, and there was one real – he really hammed it up where it was a vacant player. I think it was Wiedemann may have been, and just had to get the ball.
I think it was Durham in the pocket of.
Oh, Durham was it? Yeah, just had to get it over the top, and I overcooked it and went out of bounds on the full. But I will say that he did respond because he kicked the next goal after doing that. So didn't drop his head, but like his disposal is always something he's going to have to keep working on. But he's a real goer.
He is, mate. He works bloody hard, like as you say, like he doesn't drop his head, but he. When he makes a blue, it'll happen at times. But I thought he worked really hard and made an impact. Yeah, when he tackled, got around the ground. Actually, had the 6 marks as well, James. So presented an option around the ground to really help out the side with those sort of link handballs and kicks along the way. I think just more time and experience at the level. Will only be a good thing for him. I thought he played quite a solid game in the end.
Yeah. Dylan Shiel, we both talked about already, mate. So we can move forward. And we talked about this guy as well, Sam Wiedemann. So we've done well. Now, Will Snelling was our sub. And, he came on at 3-quarter time for Andrew Phillips. Only had the 5 disposals in that quarter. Did have a couple of tackles, but it was a hard game for him to come into and have an impact.
Yeah, absolutely, James. For mine, this one was, it's kind of puzzling to mine as to why he was a sub at all. He's sort of undersized for anything except for like a small forward or, maybe
a midfielder.
Yeah, a smaller midfielder or something. But for anything else, if you think one of our backs go down, one of our forwards go down, or even one of our wingers or so, he's not really suited to that sort of game. So it kind of boggles my mind as to why he was chosen as a sub, but chosen he was. And as you say, Jamie, it's really hard at that stage of the game to get involved. So I think it was, on a hiding to nothing, really, coming in. So I'd have to say, like, you couldn't say anything more than, average to solid, if that, because I just didn't really think he had an impact on the game.
No. Will Setterfield, mate, I will say one thing I've noticed that's dropped off in Will's game, especially this game, he only had the one tackle. Mm. And that was a feature of his early games. So whether he's getting tired or, I know he's had a few, where he's had corkies and stuff like that. But, look, I know he had his hands full on Sunday, but, it just felt like he, his intensity around the defensive work dropped off a little.
Yeah, absolutely, Jamin. Like his impact with the ball in hand as well, I thought, it wasn't as high as earlier games. Look, I've got no doubt he'll bounce back and come up to where he was earlier. Certainly on the day, and I guess you kind of get it against the likes of Dangerfield and their stars in the centre there. Pretty tough going against that lot. I suppose he made himself relatively useful in the game, but just wasn't able to star for mine.
Yeah, Jordan Ridley, mate, I gave a vote. So what would you like to add about his game?
Yeah, like I think it was solid, but again, like the defensive structure as a whole lacked so much, from losing Laverty and trying to plug a number of gaps unsuccessfully because Geelong, like Collingwood before him, were able to pick us apart relatively easy. And we know that Jordan Ridley, his one wood isn't the one-on-one game. But in saying that, I think, at halftime, we said, look, Zerk Thatcher was getting killed on Hawkins. So they put, Ridley to him. And, did stifle his influence to a large degree, James. I think, Ridley was able to get in front, take some marks, that were previously getting taken by the big Hawkins. I just didn't think he was, not through a lack of Jordan's own efforts, but I just think the way the defence got beaten, which was probably a large reflection of our midfield getting beaten, didn't allow him to have his, as much impact as he might normally have.
R.C. Perkins worked hard, mate. He had 17 disposals in the end. Mm. Yep. 10 kicks, 7 handballs, 2 marks, only the 1 tackle. And look, he usually uses the ball pretty well. He only used it at 65%. Yep. So that's something he can work on. Still strong as ever. Like there's a couple of times they tried to bring him to ground and they couldn't. Yep. He's just got to get more games. And it was pleasing to see a couple of times he was thrown into the center.
I think. It was good to see him, get more involved in the game. Actually had 5 inside 50, so we tried to go through him to go inside 50, and we know he's usually a good user of the footy. Had the 6 score involvements, and, as you said, James, it's so strong through the hips, broke a couple of tackles, but only laid the 1 tackle himself. So definitely, the defensive side of his game he needs to work on. So, for mine, it didn't really have much of an impact on the game, but you definitely noticed him out there. And, he was giving as good as he could. But overall, I'd have to say an average game for mine.
Nick Hind, he got a full game today, on Sunday, and he ended up with 15 disposals, 9 kicks, 6 handballs, 4 marks, only the 1 tackle for a quick player. He should be able to use that defensively as well. Yep. And I think that's the knock on his game when he plays backline. He's very much doesn't have an impact on the defensive end. Yep. He's good at chasing down a footy when it's there, but I think his defensive mechanisms aren't always correct. And his priorities sometimes aren't the right one. Yep. But I will give it one. There was one play, mate, where it was right on the wing and he had to run, he gut run probably 40 metres to put pressure on a Geelong player streaming towards their goal, and he made a real impact there. Yeah. And I saw that firsthand, and I saw how hard he was working. So I won't say he's a defensive liability because he does work hard, but I just think sometimes you know, his priorities are wrong. I think, like, unfortunately for Nick, I think he has to play really well to retain his spot. So I've got fears for him at selection night, even though he did quite well.
Yeah, and I think those fears are warranted, Jane, because as good as he is on the run, and he's yeah, burst through a carry can be a real credit to him. It's his defensive side of the game that he's lacking. And I think, you know, one thing that, you know, Brad Scott seems to be drilling into the guys is a team defence first attitude. And if you're not, I suppose, adhering to the values of that team defence and, you know, playing your part of the bargain there, you find yourself on the outer. And I think that's his deficiency. I think there's, you know, if you can work on that side of his game, there's definitely a spot for him because he's got that speed and ability to burst through packs at times. But just defensively, we need more from him. And I think that was more pronounced on the weekend because we didn't have the likes of Laverty to be that more enforcer type. Unfortunately, another bloke we'll talk about later, between Hind and Massimo D'Ambrosio, we got found out defensively, I think, Jane. Overall, I have to say he played a solid game. Did get involved. But I think, selection time would be a nervous time for Nick Hind.
Sam Durham, mate, he's had 14 disposals. He works hard. He had 3 tackles, 7 marks. And, we're still waiting on the ruling of there's a bit of a sling tackle there, mate, in the Geelong forward line. So I haven't heard from that yet. But, look, I think he could find a bit more of the footy at times. Obviously he's working through that in his development. But, last Tuesday he had a pretty low possession game. And today yesterday he had 14 disposals. But, he's not noticeable in the game sometimes. And he might be doing some defensive work that we're not aware of. But at times he just seems out of the game for long periods of time.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, James. I think, you see him at times and he's full of vigour and enthusiasm, but just doesn't seem to have the poise to, to make good use of his hands in the air. He flies for a lot and but drops them ultimately, at times. And times where he does have the footy in his hands. Like we've seen him, he can be quite a good user of the footy, James, but he seemed to rush his kick on a number of occasions yesterday. I think he had minimal impact on the game, James. So I'd have to say he was pretty average on the day. And I wonder whether that's some of that's due to fatigue, which could be understandable. So I think he's definitely got a lot to work on in terms of, I think honestly his body, being able to stand up in tackles and to hold tackles himself. Mind you, he did make 3 tackles on the weekend, which is good. Had the 7 marks as well. But certainly he's a player. He's capable of much more than that. So I'd have to say an average game from Durham on the weekend.
Yeah, he is one of Brad Scott's favourites. So he'll keep getting played and there is a good player there. Needs a bit more development. Jake Stringer, we've already spoken about. We'll move forward. Mason Redmond. Look, as you said, mate, his first half was, really low for him. Mm. And even, finishing with 16 disposals, he did get a goal, which was good to see. But it was a tough day at the office for Mason Redmond.
Certainly was, James. It's good that he kept, trying to fight it out, but they had pretty minimal impact. He was found no man's land a number of times, and I kind of wondered whether he was actually fit for the game. He just seemed to be labouring in his running at times, who knows? It's positioning. It's all the rest of it that goes into it. But certainly not his best performance on Sunday.
Yeah, Jake Kelly, had his hands full as well. You don't ever look at his stats to look for, possession, high possession game. But being at the game myself, I didn't notice him a lot. You might have a better vision of him from a TV perspective.
Yeah, no, not really, James. Yeah, unfortunately, I think it was a pretty tough day for our defenders. I mean, he's one normally racks up quite a few intercept possessions. Only had the one on the weekend, and when he did have the footy, which was the 11 times, went at 54.5% disposal efficiency, which if you're coughing the ball up in the defensive side of the ground, it doesn't spell good things generally. I think, not due to lack of effort. Like, there were times where he, followed up with a second and third effort, which was really admirable. But unfortunately, he was pretty soundly beaten on the day. So, unfortunately, I would have to say an average game from Jake Kelly.
And Brandon Zerk-Thatcher, look, he had a real tough day at the office playing on Hawkins and then being moved off him. And I think he got put onto Cameron at one stage before going back to Hawkins.
Yep.
There was no pressure lifted off him. Mm. He was in the furnace the whole time. But, you got to love his five tackles, which shows that it didn't stop him, his efforts. But hopefully that game's a real good educational tool. And I'm sure he's calling out for some support down there, seeing Laverty out.
Yeah, definitely, mate. He missed Lav in particular. We need some bigger bodies there. Zerk-Thatcher, he did try his hardest. You can't say he wasn't. But unfortunately, was soundly beaten by Hawkins. And then when he did get the footy, Zerk-Thatcher, he bit off more than he could chew at times and copped it straight up, which led to more goals being piled on. Not his best day. Zerk, but we know he's of he's a competitor and he'll get better from that.
Yeah, I will say his disposals at time can be really hurting us. Just his awareness at times, and he's known for a brain fader here and there. So look, he's just going to keep working. But like as Brad Scott said, we're going to keep playing him. He's important to our future and. Yeah, we just got to take some of these pains now and watch him thrive in later years. But Andrew Phillips, mate, I've been really disappointed with him in the last two games. I thought it was a strange decision, actually. 34, I think he's 32, actually, being played on a five-day break after having minimal impact. Whether they thought that Geelong had a weakness in the ruck or not, It was a bad point in the end because he had no impact and again no marks and to have three disposals is not good enough, and although you have 22 hitouts, none of them I would say were straight down the throat of our players.
He's one of your favourites, Flip, because he can have a bit of an impact on his day, but he was pretty poor on Sunday, you'd have to say. And as you say, like aging legs and all the rest of it, he was one that, we'd penciled in during the week, like just having a chat. He's probably going to, be managed. So it was surprising to see him line up. And unfortunately, it didn't bear fruit from his selection. So, a poor game, but, he'll lift from there.
Nick Martin, last time he played Geelong, mate, he kicked five goals and, in a belting that we copped in round one of last year. He found the footy a bit. He got 22 disposals, 12 kicks, 10 handballs, five tackles, which is great for his slender size at times against a powerful Geelong team. Four marks. Look, there was a couple of bad decisions he made, like the handball backwards to Dangerfield. Was really costly at an important time of the game. I just think that he's going to be a player that will just keep getting better with more education.
Yeah, absolutely, James. It was fine in the footy, no problems. And I was actually really pleased to see he had 11 intercept possessions, James, and 9 scoring involvements. I think he's a very smart footballer, knows where to find the footy, generally a good user. But a couple of real clangers, a couple of mistimed kicks and that handball to Dangerfield, sticks in the back of my mind. I nearly gave him a vote, James, but I unfortunately those ones just I couldn't do it. But as you say, he'll get better from that. He's shown so much development improvement already. So no, I think he had a solid game, but we'll grow from there.
Yeah, a player like you, mate, I was disappointed in was Massimo D'Ambrosio. Known to be a good kick of the footy, mate. You wouldn't know it if you watched Sunday's game. Whether that was the pressure on him or not, his kicking was largely poor. His credit is 54% disposal. A lot of them must have been the handballs because some of his kicking was, really poor. And I know he's waiting for his opportunity, but when you get these chances, you've got to make them. You've got to solidify your spot, and he wasn't able to.
Absolutely, Jane. Look, a day he'd like to have again, but he's not alone, obviously. I think whether it was the pressure or what got to him, his disposal was pretty poor on the day. But also he got found out defensively, which in the end hurt our back six or seven. Look, I'm not putting that on the young bloke. He played the role to the best of his ability on the day. We know he's capable of much better performances than that, but unfortunately, just on the day, I'd have to say it was pretty poor.
Yeah, and just we do know you're playing against good opposition, so it's not like you're on you're on poor players, you're on quality players, but you've got to step up and take your opportunities, that's all. Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody, mate, it was great to see him back in the side. Look, I know he didn't have a lot of the footy at halftime either. I think he had two disposals at halftime, but he worked his way into the game in the end. He had 11 disposals, six kicks, five handballs. Sorry, five kicks, one handball, and then the three marks and two tackles. And he should have got a free kick for that launching tackle on Stewart. Great to see him kick a goal, and he set up Wiedemann as one. So, it's always good to see Tipper out there. And hopefully, that won't be the last we see of him, and he gets another opportunity soon.
That's it, Jamie. He actually set up Wiedemann for two goals, and there was the third goal assist in there, as well as kicking his own goal. So, I guess to create, four goals from his own play, and had a shot for another goal, but unfortunately missed as well. So, I think he did his role, see him launching at a couple of tackles was really good. A few points where that inferred pressure really made Geelong rush their kicks, which is good to see. And I think it was just good to see him out there. The Bomber faithful obviously love him, but I think he's good for footy in general, James. The AFL as a whole, I think all the fans got around him. So look, hopefully he can grow from here, James. As Brad Scott mentioned, there were concerns about whether he'd be able to run out the game, and but he actually did really well, and he's looking in much better nick than he was when he came back from retirement. So he's obviously worked bloody hard to get back to where he is right now. So I'm hoping whether he stays in the side and is able to I suppose back up after a game against Geelong will remain to be seen, but I think he's setting himself up nicely, for a few weeks' time, when we've got dream time against the Tigers, James, to lead our Indigenous talent on that day, because certainly our Indigenous talent has been, not put on show, and that's on the club, not anybody else. No, great effort from Dom, Tip and Woody, and just love to see him out there.
Yeah, well, tough game coming up against Port. We've lost two in a row. We want to bounce back, and until next Sunday, go Bombers.
Go Johns.